All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this, Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to that body cream scent, baby, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E. A modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
There's power in every purchase because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine. If your wife, your baby mother, or your girl just had a baby and she need help, get her some help.
I love that. Dead ass, yo. Because why? A bitch be tied. Tied.
Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention. We're married.
Yes, sir, we mm-hmm. are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now.
This is going to take me back to 2017.
Okay.
2017.
I was going to say 2007. I'm like, you digging in the crates.
Nah. 2017. Mm-hmm. We had a baby 2016. Mm-hmm. Somebody lied to us and told us that if you are breastfeeding, then you're not ovulating, so you won't get pregnant again. Fast forward 10 months, we had another baby. Mm-hmm. Right? And grandma always comes to stay with us when we have these babies, these newborns.
Yes.
And I will never forget the day. This is when I was still working at the gym, mm-hmm. doing about 12 to 14 hours in the gym. This 2017. So at this point, you had stopped doing as much makeup mm-hmm. as you were doing before. So you were at home. But I remember laying in the bed and hearing Kaz go, eh, eh. That was it. Kaz said, eh. And the door flew open. Boom. Grandma bust in the room, grabbed Kaz up, swallowed Kaz up in that dang blanket, and whisked Kaz out of there, right? And I remember Kay was just like, dang, she ain't even let him cry. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at you and saying, thank God she ain't let him cry. Because niggas was tired.
Tied.
Thank you, Grandma. We miss you. Boom. Doom, 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 doom. Doom, 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 doom. Doom, 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 doom.
Sometime in our life, we all have pain. We all have sorrow. Oh, 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 oh. If we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow.
Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on.
For
I don't know the rest of the words.
It won't be long.
We won't be long
till I'm gonna need
somebody to lean on.
Then call on your brother when you need a hand. That's how it went, right?
Yeah, it did. The clap used to be there. That's just people be waiting for that clap.
It was the clap for me. Oh, hit the double clap.
Ah, Mimi in the back dancing. I wish I could see Mimi in the back. She heard Lean On Me. We're going to take a break, man. Pay some bills. We'll be right back. During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs, classic clogs, and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why Black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us, and it's important that they understand that Black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact, and the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truth.
Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
There's power in every purchase, because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know, I love my lip bar products. That's just one, to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Y'all, let me tell you, after the Love Against the World tour, my social battery is depleted, drained, no energy. How do you feel, babe?
I don't know. You know, it can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up one after another in the wintertime.
That's a fact. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge after that? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time like me.
You know what? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/deadass.
So yeah, those were some very, very vital times for us, particularly having the back-to-back children. I think that's really what threw us for a loop. So any hands on deck, which is very different than like being a first-time mom, because first-time moms, for the most part, I know for me, I kind of felt like, I got this, I can do this, my maternal instincts will kick in and I'll be all right. Which is all fine and dandy until you get no sleep or that baby's not on the schedule and then you're just all over the place. So we appreciated that help when grandma was here because it was just another seasoned professional in the field of mothering that was able to really lend a hand when it was needed. And particularly focusing on you getting the rest that you needed, because she was so adamant about you getting your rest, knowing like, okay, guys,
right,
DeVal's the one person that's getting up, leaving this house to go to work,
right,
for 12 to 16 hours a day. So he needs to get his rest.
Mm-hmm.
So let me pitch in how I can. So shout out to grandma, because we're missing her this time around.
Absolutely.
But mom and dad are on deck too. And it's different now as well, because we also have three children who are now in school. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, we need to, you know, get three children ready in the morning, yeah, and out the door, and then still be able to come here and talk to y'all.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different working parts that goes into this. So the reason for this conversation is because of a viral clip that we saw. I think it was, right, on Instagram and a couple of different sources, where people were shaming a mom for outsourcing help. So this is how the story goes. A mom has gone viral for explaining what it's like to hire a postpartum doula to help watch her newborn overnight. And for some people who don't know what a doula offers services to expecting family.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be any point throughout, mm-hmm, the pregnancy. So throughout the pregnancy, during labor, and after. So there can be three phases of this,
mm-hmm,
doula service. So the mom of two, her name is Brittany Bright of 28 of Arkansas. She goes by It's Brittany Bright on TikTok, posted a video last month explaining a typical night, what it was like for her with a postpartum nighttime doula. Mm-hmm. She told Fox News that she decided to hire a doula for the birth of her second son, Maddox, after she had several challenges during her first pregnancy back in 2016, which included a fibroid tumor in her uterus, which is very prevalent in African-American women.
Mm-hmm.
So Bright said that doctors didn't take her concerns seriously, so she ended up going into labor early at 38 weeks through an emergency C-section. And after her first son, Jackson.
Bullet!
Jackson, there was it's a good name. A traumatic labor and delivery that she had with him. She also had postpartum depression and suffered from blackouts and hallucinations. So all this being said, she ended up finding a doula who offered postpartum services specifically. And she worked with her during her pregnancy until Maddox was born, until he was 11 weeks old, actually. So during the postpartum phase, the doula spent two nights a week with Maddox for 10 hours a night. And for those nights, she had time to herself. So I remember seeing the video, she kind of was like, here's my routine. You, mm-hmm, know, I do bath time and our little ritual at night with the baby, the whole routine, gives him his bath, his bottle, bedtime story, whatever the case may be. And then the doula comes in at like 7 or 8, and then she just hands off the baby. And then homegirl was starting her bath. I think she had maybe a glass of wine, if, mm-hmm, she was lucky. And she was able to go down to sleep or spend time with her husband or whatever,
mm-hmm,
at least until 6 a.m. the next morning. So she was able to take care of things around the house as well, spend time with her partner, her first son, and, mm-hmm, all of that. So I want to know what's the problem. Because everybody was chiming in about how dare she hire somebody to be in her house with her baby overnight. When you have a baby, shouldn't you expect that you're going to be up with a baby overnight?
Well, let's be clear about what social media is, right? We talk about this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When you post something on social media, people are entitled, mm-hmm, to have their opinion about what you post, right? Mm-hmm. But let's be clear. The vast majority of people who comment on social media are the people who do not exist in the same space as you.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the comments you saw were from people who don't have kids.
Right.
And those are typically the loudest. The same way if you married and you post something about being married, the single people often have the most to say because they're not married.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The same way when single people post stuff, it'd be the married people having the most to say about single things, but you don't understand, you don't live in that space.
Mm-hmm.
So that the first thing we're going to do is not discredit anyone's opinion,
mm-hmm,
but just understand that it is what it is. It is an opinion based on someone who has no experience in that realm of space.
Right.
Right.
Because I want to say for the most part, there were a lot of women on there who I think are moms.
Yes.
You had to have been a mom who applauded her for taking her mental health and sanity, her family, right, life, her relationship with her husband,
right,
her relationship with her first son into account,
right,
to feel like, you know what? Those things are probably going to suffer because I'm not the best version of myself if I don't,
right,
A, get some sleep,
right,
B, have some time to myself, C, just have a minute to just kind of regroup. Like a lot, mm-hmm, of that is something that's missing sometimes. And the mentality I think that a lot of women have trying to be this like mama hear me roar because I'm doing all, mm-hmm, the things and I can handle it is sometimes to a detriment of your well-being.
Absolutely.
So kudos to that mom for going ahead and finding some help. And she was able to afford it as well, too. I don't think this family is maybe going outside of their means.
I think that was part of the issue, too, is that when they announced the price, it was $6,000, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, social media is going to sensationalize it so they can get clicks. Mm-hmm. So one of the posts I saw, the meme, was just like, mom spent $6,000 for a night doula. So mm-hmm. people assume that it's $6,000 for the night, mm-hmm. when in actuality, the $6,000 was for the month, mm-hmm. which was two times a week, mm-hmm. which was 8 sessions, mm-hmm. which was 11 hours per session. Mm-hmm. So if you just break down the numbers.
Right. How much is that hourly for the doula?
If you had a nurse that came to your house mm-hmm. at $100 per hour, mm-hmm. right, for 11 hours, would be $1,100. Mm-hmm. For 8 nights, would be $8,800. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you pay for what you want and the mm-hmm. services that you need. She didn't charge her $100 an hour. She charged her less. Mm-hmm. So we can bring it down. $6,000 is about 75% of $8,000. So we can say she probably charged maybe $75 an hour.
Maybe.
And the services that she provided was for the full night. Mm-hmm. Like
the 10 hours. Like, and that's twice a week too. But I think when I, then it could be, you know, mixed up in what we've seen based off of what was posted. But I think I saw that it was $6,000 for her three-phase period.
Might be.
If that was the case, that's even more of a deal. Like, right. You want to come by two nights a week to come in and sleep with my baby? Sure, you know. And I'm at that point too, I'm assuming the family has developed a relationship.
Absolutely.
Where you're comfortable with her being in your house and having your baby overnight while you get some good rest. But you're right about that. If you really break it down to like the nickels and dimes of it,
right?
How much is this doula actually making out with? You know.
And if you can afford prices are all relative.
Relative,
you know?
Yes.
People said Michael Jordan had a gambling problem because he would bet $75,000 per hole of golf, right? Mm-hmm. $75,000 to a man who's made close to $1 billion is not that much money. Mm-hmm. So it's all relative. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people are going to hear the number and then project what their expenses are onto that person and say, why would you spend all that money? And not for nothing, it's 2 days out of the week. There's still 5 other days she spends with her baby. So,
right.
You know, like you go to work. You go to work 5 days a week, you get 2 days off.
2 days off,
like,
right.
We can't give a mom 2 days off with a doula per week. Like, I just feel like, well, number one, we as people have to stop looking for validation from the rest of the world on what we choose to do with our life. It's our life, right?
Exactly.
If I want to pay for a doula, I could pay for a doula. If you want to post it, understand that people are going to say their opinion about it, but understand that I don't need your validation in order to do what's going to be best for me.
And this doula going to be up in here with this baby.
And that's just the bottom line.
Period.
Because we never paid for a doula, mm-hmm. but your grandmother lived with us.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Your mom lives with us.
Yes, absolutely.
And back in the day when people had babies, the village came around to support mm-hmm. that mom.
Right.
You can't help if you're a mom that lives in a state where your family isn't. And we know plenty of
friends, my gosh,
who have no outside
absolutely.
Help.
Absolutely. I mean, I will admit, prior to having multiple children, I had a friend that was outsourcing and she had a full-time nanny that lived with her. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, man, isn't that a lot to like have someone in the house? And I was just thinking from the standpoint of like, wow, having to pay somebody. Cause at that point, you know, I wasn't making that much money, but mm-hmm. I was also thinking to the point like, oh my, well, like that's a lot to pretty much pay a person's salary to live with you full-time. But then she had no other help, no other family in the area. This was somebody that she trusted and developed a relationship with. So it's like, who am I to judge if that's going to make your life that much easier and that much better? Because you're able to then take a little bit of a break.
Right.
I think moms need a break. And dads need a break too.
Yeah.
Y'all need a break too. There's time that the mom and dad can reconnect, you know. Reconnect.
Reconnecting got us another one. That's
reconnecting after that baby. But yeah, I did have a moment where I was just kind of like, man, that seems like a lot. Then we have another friend who has a night nurse for each of her children. She has two. Right. And, you know, one focuses on one child, one on the other. And I'm just like, girl, if you have the resources to do that, then by all means do that. And she's talked about how much better of her mother she feels like it makes her just getting that night's rest, waking up in the morning refreshed.
Yes.
So she can spend the entire day really pouring into her children. And I can appreciate that.
I think that the biggest thing people don't realize what happens to moms is sleep deprivation.
Oh, my gosh.
And if you look at any training for our armed forces, right? The number one most important thing for army resource stuff like that is learning how to work with sleep deprivation, because it causes so many issues with the body, both physically, mentally, and emotionally. Mm-hmm. So if they train soldiers to deal with sleep deprivation, imagine a mom mm-hmm. who's never trained how to deal with sleep deprivation, having to be up every 2.5 hours, deal with a crying baby, and then if you have other children, being emotionally stable to be a present mom throughout the day. Mm-hmm. If you can have a day or two where you just get a chance to get a full 8 hours of rest, imagine how much more productive your week can be.
Absolutely.
You know, imagine how much more productive your relationship with your spouse or your partner can be mm-hmm. and how much more productive you guys can be collectively to parent the rest of the home mm-hmm. just by getting sleep.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that that's not talked about enough. Mm-hmm. I can tell when you've got to the point where you're just tired. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I tell you, today, right?
Today. Look into my eyes. There wasn't enough concealer this morning for me.
You look all right, though. You ain't tripping.
That left eyelash a little wonky
because I didn't put it on.
Okay, my bad.
She always, this is what happens, guys. I'd be like, you want me to help you? She'd be like, no, I got it. I don't need no help. Then the eyelash be over there just flickering at me. I'd be like, baby, you cockeyed? Yeah, it's
just today.
Like a pistol right now.
Just today. Cock like a pistol.
Bang.
I love it.
No, getting some sleep. I can tell, and I often tell you, right?
Yeah.
Like, yo, give your mom the baby mm-hmm. for the night. Mm-hmm. And we'll just know, like, yo, your mom's going to have the baby. You and I will go get something to eat at 7:30. Mm-hmm. Go get some wine. You'll pump. Do whatever you got to do to get that out. And we'll sleep. We'll do other things, too. But you'll sleep a full 8 hours, and then... You good for a couple of days because at least you got that
for
rest
a couple of days. It's
your mom,
amazing.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right. It's amazing how much a good 8-10 hours sometimes sleep will get you going yeah. for a couple of days, just kind of like on a restart. It's necessary. And even just with your body healing and getting back to normal, like me starting a new workout routine and stuff like that, one of the prime things on my routine is
rest.
Try to get 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night. And I'm like, where, how, and how, you know, but, you know, and then also there's a little bit of a guilt that kicks in too. Cause I'm like, man, like I do have this new baby. I do have the 3 children. My mom does help a lot with like getting the kids ready for school in the morning, taking them to school. So that way, at least if I'm up overnight yeah. with the baby or you and I not getting sound sleep, it's the broken sleep that then
from
becomes
sleep
an issue.
Yeah.
yeah. It becomes an issue. So sometimes I have a little bit of guilt cause I'm like, man, like I don't want to pass the baby off to her overnight knowing that she's been up to or will be
you
up with the
kids. You can be guilty all you want.
But
you can feel guilty all you want. You know who don't feel guilty? Me. Look, I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna be 100% honest. I feel as well too. Like I get better sleep when I know you're rested mm-hmm. because it's just something in me. If you're gonna be up, I'm gonna be up.
Yeah.
You know, like we've had this discussion before. You were just like, oh, I can take the baby and sleep in another room because you're still nursing at night. I'm like, no. You know, back when we were playing, when I was still training every morning mm-hmm. for hours and training kids and training people, and I needed to be up mm-hmm. at 5 o'clock because I had a client, that's when you would take the baby and go sleep because I had to get some sleep. Mm-hmm. But now we live in a space where I don't have to be up. I don't have a 9 to 5. I don't have trainings at 5, clients at 5 in the morning. I can be up with you. But even those days, 3 or 4 days of being up all night and only mm-hmm. getting 2 or 3 hours rest weighs on me as a dad.
Right.
You know, and I know that I find myself being extra emotional or sensitive or cranky. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is happening?
Definitely
like,
very why? Snappy.
And it happens. It does
like,
happen.
Bro, I just said something real simple to you and you just like off with her head.
Welcome to my world.
Off with her head.
Welcome to my world. You get to have those moments every month. And I'm supposed to just let it.
Nah,
I'm supposed to let it flow.
An excuse. I know how to manage it by now. Somebody
that's
get him
hilarious.
Some water. You sound like you're coughing.
So you think you manage it well?
I think I do. I think I have it pretty under control right now. Like, I know.
You haven't had a period in almost a year.
In almost a year.
So you
true.
Wouldn't even know if you haven't been managing. This is what I'm talking
Chill
about.
Chill out. You sound like you got some PTSD or something going on.
You
now.
Live
relax,
in a completely
relax.
Different universe than
relax.
You.
Relax. Like, what do I always say about that? And you love it in this universe, bro.
Oh
you be here.
Gosh, bro.
So stop.
Let this be another example.
Hold the press.
Let this be another example.
He loves it here, y'all.
Of,
okay.
Of me showing empathy to my wife. And her having no empathy for me at all, right? None. No accountability for her emotional spasms that happen sometimes.
They happen. They happen. I will say they do happen. I'm messing with you, but...
And my point is that they happen to both of us.
Yes.
Because a lot of times it's, oh, we need to get this mom help because the mom be going crazy. Nah, dads be going crazy too. My boys who have young babies now for the first
time.
Speak
on that a little bit. Yeah. You know, because there's the debate of like how much help is too much help or how much help is not enough help for y'all.
So
tell
check
me
this
about
out.
That.
So we had a conversation. I don't know if they want to talk about it, but a young couple and the father, they don't have children yet. Mm-hmm. And the father said, when we have a baby, we should be able to handle all of the things.
Oh, yes. Yes.
On
I
our
recall
own,
this conversation. Right?
And yes. I said, bro.
He pretty much was just like, I wouldn't need like a mom to live in or anything. We got this. You know, me and her, we got this. Meanwhile, she ain't had a child yet.
And typically though, men who don't understand what goes into postpartum feel like they can help. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So, and I was the same way. You know, your ego gets the best of you. And like, I can take care of my wife. I can take care of my baby. Everything is good. Until it's time for everything to be good. And your wife, because of sleep deprivation, starts fucking with your mental health, right? For example, one of my boys called me. I think I might have told this story in another podcast. But he called me like, yo. All my friends, your wives, just if you're listening, he wasn't talking about you.
Right. I'm about to say, they're going to be like, process of elimination.
Calls me, right? Yo, this bitch crazy. It's crazy. I'm like, what you mean? Like, what happened? What happened? He's like, bro, I'm at work. I'm working overtime, double overtime, because she's not working because I want to make sure that she can go back when she's ready to go back. She's not ready to go back. So I'm working all these shifts to make sure everything's covered, which I'm good with, right? But then I get the phone calls. And the phone calls are, oh, you staying at work again? I guess I'll just be here with the baby, click. So I'm like, damn, she hang up on you too, bro? He's like, yeah, but she been hanging up on me. So then I won't take an extra shift so that I could be home with her. Get home. Now that I'm home, everything I go to do with the baby is wrong. And aww, she keeps telling me to stop touching the baby. So now I'm just sitting here. And now she's looking at me like, oh, so you're just going to be here and just sit here? You're not going to help. Oh, you might as well go back to work.
I understand.
So then he goes back to work. He's like, bro, I cannot win. And I was just like, when's the last time your wife has gotten rest? And he'd be like, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, bro. Like right now, you cannot blame her for her mental capacity right now. Like, she's tired as shit right now.
Right.
And looking at you, it's not helping her because you put her in this situation.
Right, exactly. And it's funny because it almost becomes a battle of, okay, whose life sucks more? You leave to go to work. So that means that you're getting time away from the baby. So it's like, oh, he should be good because he's out the house. He's out the house mingling with adults, doesn't have breast milk soaked shirts, you know, getting some time to interact with people, getting a break at work. And then he's seen it as, you're at home. You don't have to leave the house. All you got to do is watch the baby.
But hold on.
That's all you got to do.
But hold on. In her sleep-deprived mind, when he leaves, there's a bunch of women who never had babies before cheering him on when he runs out the
as
house.
He leaves, right? As he with leaves. With their pom-poms. Yeah, like,
they're all cheering him and giving him all of this attention, right? And then when he gets to work, in her sleep-deprived mind, he's at work with his feet up with all of these women who've never had babies just fanning him and just helping him with his day. This is what's happening in her sleep-deprived mind, right? In his sleep-deprived mind, he's at work just beating a hammer on a rock and nothing ever happens to the rock and sparks is flying out. And in his sleep-deprived mind,
the baby's
she's at home
sleeping, chilling. She's getting a massage.
She's watching TV. Uh-huh. So both of them, in their sleep-deprived mind, have this perception of the other. Mm-hmm. And they feel like they are working harder than the other. Then when they get together, all of those projections start to come out.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? And that's what having outsourced help can give you a break from. That feeling as if the other person is doing nothing and you're doing everything. Because we've both been there.
Absolutely. We've definitely both been you know? There. And you're just ready to strangle each other because then it just becomes a resentment thing. Like, well, who wanted this baby anyway? Why are we here? You know? So I can totally empathize with that. But like, do you think there's a point where too much help is too much help? Like, how do we gauge how much is too much help when it comes to outsourcing?
When your kids are calling you by your first name. that's... At that point, say, hey, this nigga call me DeVal. I gotta get my ass home.
Right. Good to see you, DeVal.
Right.
You told me a story one time about when you worked at Poly Prep. There was a kid that had like a closer relationship with his driver than like his parents.
Yeah. So I mean, well, Poly Prep
that's
is
different. Yeah.
Poly Prep is probably top 1% of the country
wealth wise.
That goes to
that's
this
true.
School. It's one of the most expensive private.
So
schools
they probably outsourced everything.
Brooklyn. So they outsourced everything. And one of the kids that I coached, he said that he spends more time with his driver than he does with his parents. Both his parents work. Mm. And they both are very career oriented. So he was in eighth grade and he had his own apartment in the city.
Right.
And his driver used to take him to school, pick him up, take him back to his apartment.
And in his parents' defense, they probably were feeling like, yo, we're going to bust our ass and we're going to work to provide this kind of lifestyle for our children and for our families. So they probably think they're doing the best that they can, which I think all parents do. Well, feel like they're doing the best that they can in that moment, given their resources. So,
and I think that what we need to do is normalize not judging parents for the decisions they make with their children.
With their children.
It's their children. Exactly. Like you get one life. We're all out here trying to guess. And when somebody, and this is so typical of what social media has created. When somebody doesn't do what you do the exact same way or doesn't think the exact same way, the first thing we look to do is crucify, judge, and shame them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I've never been a billionaire. How do I know how I would move if I had the responsibility of not only just being like filthy rich, but also pretty much being an economy for a bunch of other people? It's an entirely a different type of scope of life. Like, now other families' livelihoods rely on you.
Yeah.
So, you know, you think, you know what, maybe let me put these hours into making sure the business works properly. Mm-hmm. My home life may have to sacrifice a little bit of that, but I'm going to teach my son or daughter how to maneuver in this same way as they get older. Mm-hmm. The only way you can understand that lifestyle is if you live in that lifestyle.
Right.
So my whole purpose of telling that story was to just let people think for a minute before we judge and shame people who don't move the same exact way we move. Let's try to sit back and think and see if we can find a level of understanding, not even agreement, mm-hmm. because you don't have to. You also don't have to agree.
Right.
Like, that's another thing we should normalize. I don't have to agree with your lifestyle.
Right.
In order to respect what you do, mm-hmm. I can, because if I agree, then I should live that way. No, I want to live my way, mm-hmm. which is fine if I live my way and you live your way. But we have a mutual respect and understanding for each other. I think that's what we have to start doing for all sorts of people in all sorts of walks of life. You know
I agree
saying?
With that wholeheartedly. And I think for me, my perspective on this whole, you know, outsourcing help and stuff like that, I value the time that I have, quality time that I have mm-hmm. with you and that I have with each of my boys, right? And I'd spoken on a previous podcast and probably recently talked about just even being able mm-hmm. to spend time with each child individually. We have mm-hmm. four sons. Like, I want to be able to have individual time with each child, you know, at least maybe say once mm-hmm. every once and two, you know, one time or twice a month or something like that. So that being said, if I cannot spend a day and a half to 2 days cleaning the house, for example, mm-hmm. and I can say, you know what? I have a family friend who told me of another friend who's looking for some work and she cleans houses. Mm-hmm. You know what? Does she want to come over and help me clean this house today? So that way I feel like I'm putting money in the pocket of somebody who needs it.
Somebody
who appreciates it and who will be able to help me out. So that way I can then say, you know what? Instead of cleaning right now, I can take the time to sit down with Kaz and do some coloring. Or I can take Jackson out for an hour. Or DeVal and I can actually sit down and just watch our favorite show, you know, two episodes or something while that is being done. Because there's just certain things that if I spent the time to do, there's just so many other things that are going to suffer on the back end.
Well,
so it's a matter of prioritizing, I think, what means the most to you in that mm-hmm. moment and finding the help if you need it. Who's better equipped in that moment to do it? I always say that if it's not going to be me or you, it's finding somebody who then can.
Well, I think this also goes to what we were debating about in the kitchen the other day, mm-hmm. which is when you're outsourcing help, some people automatically put gender roles on people in their relationships and say, this is your responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. You had a baby, you're a mom. It's your responsibility to do this because you're a mom.
Yeah.
And we talked about how unfair that is, you know, because how roles have changed in society, because not all women want to be stay-at-home moms and not all women want to be locked down to saying, I have to do this because of my gender. Mm-hmm. You understand what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then the other debate became about how much, not so much help is help, but how much help costs mm-hmm. if those resources could be dedicated towards something else.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we have to give each other grace to say, you know what? $6,000 may not seem expensive to you, mm-hmm. but to that single mom or to that couple who was just starting out, who was young, that $6,000 may be better served doing something else or being invested somewhere else. So maybe their concern to why it would cost so much is valid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's mm-hmm. so many different variables in each situation that we have to consider mm-hmm. that just giving a broad statement like a mom shouldn't have to outsource help.
Absolutely.
Is like false.
It's completely
You understand
asinine.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, it's completely asinine, yeah.
Because traditional gender roles don't really exist anymore in society. Everybody's financial situation is different. So making a broad statement for all the couples or all the people doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that we have to learn that as people. Like, there is no one way that fits everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be accepting to learning.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. I'm just proud of this mom for knowing that this is where she needed the help, and she was able to then find the help that she needed. Again, like I said, I feel like a lot of us women are just feeling like, you know, we have the woman hear me roar syndrome, where we're just always wanting to do everything and be everything, and then we're burnt out and have nothing left at some points, and then it becomes a breaking point. And I'm just happy that more moms, I feel like our generation of moms too, millennials are aware of that. And then since we're aware of it, we're now kind of taking the steps towards getting the help that we need in whatever area it is. So I'm happy for that. I'm also happy again for the village and for the tribe of women behind us. So the moms and the grandmas who do have the time and the want to be there for those new families. Some people don't have that. Some people who have their baby, their mom is, she's living her best life, or she's still working. Right. And she's like, that's not my responsibility. Well, so
I mean, that's also something to discuss, because I think we're reaching a point in human life where things are evolving and changing, right? Mm-hmm. So if we think about our moms and our moms' moms, right? The workforce wasn't filled with as many women as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the day, right, even when women were working part-time or working, there was a village around them, because people often lived in the same places they grew up.
Mm-hmm.
So when a woman had a baby, there was always help.
Mm-hmm.
It was very rare, even when my mom was having children, it was very rare where you didn't have a family member or That's grandmothers
or you had like sister so-and-so from church who kept the kids, or you know there was somebody.
There was always an outsourcing of help. I feel like our generation likes to just put labels on things,
mm-hmm.
then shame them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was never a prerequisite as a woman or a family to say, once you have this baby, it's only on you and the dad. Mm-hmm. No one else can come in the house.
Right.
And it's detriment to the child.
Right.
That was never the case.
Right.
Why is it the case now?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
if we really sit back and think about it, why is it even a discussion that a mom gets help? Why is that even a discussion?
That's true. It was pretty much all hands on deck. Because like, even the term doula, you know, that's technically right. Somebody who provides physical, emotional, and informational support to a woman and
that's
her family during postpartum.
That's
right.
Big mama.
Exactly.
That's grandma Bryant.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, that was my nana, Della. Mm-hmm. That was my nanny. Like, that's all that's what they did
mm-hmm.
back in the day.
And
they rallied
pride
around
in
each other.
I think there was also a pride. It was far less shaming and more pride that was taken in the fact that you were able to lend that hand.
Absolutely.
Or pride that you can say my mom or my grandmother was there to assist. Like, this last time that we had Dakota, you know, I felt particularly honored
mm-hmm.
that I could call your mom and say, hey, Ma, this is the last of the Mohicans, last baby. I would love if you can come down and just be here, A, to witness your grandson being
mm-hmm.
born, and
mm-hmm.
and B, knowing that she was going to be able to just kind of fit in wherever she
right.
fit in. You know, having my mom in the room with me to know that she was going to be there of support. Because sometimes when you're in the heat of that pain, if you don't want your husband, you want your mama.
Well,
like,
you're
calling for your mom. So,
but let's think about the changes, though. Women are having children later.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, women had children late teens, early 20s. Your mom was still at that point. If they had you late teens, early 20s, your mom or your grandma might be
True.
40,
yeah.
45, close
she
to 50, right?
Life still too.
Women are, no, in these day and age, this day and age, women are having children 30s, 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Their mom may not be here to help.
True.
Right? And also, women are working until later on.
Mm-hmm.
So Big Mama may not be there to help no more, because Big Mama's not retired. Big Mama's 55, 60, still working as well.
Mm-hmm.
So hiring help Mm-hmm. Now, it's no different than back in the day when women didn't work until their 60s.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And your mom wasn't 65. Maybe your mom was 45 or 50 and had the energy to run around with a grandchild because the world is changing. You know, dual incomes are needed in majority of households in America, which means women and men both have to work. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So the idea of bringing in a doula is probably a new thing because outsourcing someone outside of the family wasn't necessarily needed.
True.
Back in the day.
True. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You're absolutely right about that, because if you can enlist the help of a family member. But I mean, even thinking back to when my aunts were having my cousins, for example, sometimes it would be a matter of, okay, grandma's still working, yes.
Yeah.
So grandma can't be there necessarily to watch. And my grandmother worked nights too, so she would try to help during the day. But you know, if, you know, sister so-and-so's niece coming up from Jamaica and she's looking for some job or is looking for some work.
Right.
You know, as they would say, she's looking for work, right? So what you would do is have her come up here. It's somebody who y'all trust in the family. So you bring her in here and then she's like your babysitter now, you know? Similar situation.
My Aunt Wheezy, my parents, quote unquote, outsourced help because both my parents work. I went to my Aunt Wheezy's house. Shout out to Aunt Wheezy. She lived on 45th Street and Forster Avenue in Brooklyn before moving to Queens. But she was the place we went to after school. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was the place we went to before school. She was our doula in a sense from the time we were young.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was always a family member. And then in the summer times, we got shipped to Tennessee to my grandmother who was retired. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But that's outsourcing help. The difference is there was no social media, because if there was social media and my mom in 1990 went on TikTok and said that my kids are going to Tennessee for 8 weeks, she would have been shamed
for sending her kids.
You send your kids for 8 weeks?
The best memories that you had.
Absolutely.
You had amazing memories with your cousin and your brother. And you were spending time with your grandparents, because that's literally all the stories you tell about your summer times. Mm-hmm. And then your parents, I'm sure, had their time to be like, all right, we have, you know, some time in the summer, our evenings to ourselves.
Outsourcing help is not new. It's not new. And I tell you, my father talked about how much he enjoyed it because he got his wife back. Let me tell you something. If there's one thing that you miss during the full pregnancy process, is that best friend that you had. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You miss that because her body's changing. She's tired. She's going through things emotionally. Like, you miss that. When you get a chance to have that back, you want to experience it. And there's a lot of nights where, you know, you're waiting for your wife. You're waiting for your wife. She put the child down. She do this. She do that. The child's crying. And you put your wife down. Before you know it, it's 4 a.m.
That's us.
That's us right now.
Literally.
It's 4 a.m. It's like, dang, literally, man, we wanted to watch a show. We wanted to go get something to eat. Like, there's just, we can't get back to living our life because our focus, and that's short-lived.
Yeah.
But it's like, why do you have to try to suffer through that for the 4 to 5 months when you can just get some help during that time or bring someone in to help?
Like,
you know,
a little cushion to just assist every time you feel like you're about to fall, because
I'm all for it.
I have the moments.
I definitely
have the moments. So, moral of the story, do what y'all got to do for yourself, for your own mental health, your own sanity, and for the baby's sake as well, too. Because a lot of times the baby, if anything, or the children will end up suffering if you're snappy and you're short.
Yeah.
They can feel that energy, too. So,
and don't let social media talk you into thinking that something that is normal is not normal. Because one thing I've also learned about social media is oftentimes social media is the loud minority, right? So the things that go viral typically are not the vast majority of what people think. It's just the loudest people, and they continue to share and share, and it gets caught up in an ecosystem, and then you start to think, well, this must be normal.
Right.
Social media is not real, guys.
And you have to also remember the certain pages that do post these things and repost them with these, like, clickbait, you know, titles.
Absolutely.
They're looking for a certain kind of reaction.
Response.
And y'all be giving it to them, you know? Yeah. So, tis what it is. But for those of you who are interested in, like, doula work, just so you know, like, being a doula is actually a certified, like, lane. Like, it's an actual... Yeah. career, job, profession for some people, very valued as well. So a certified postpartum doula works towards filling the gaps between education, competence, family cohesion, and support. Mm-hmm. They provide individualized care for the mother, baby, dad, and family as well, utilizing 11 domains of postpartum care that promotes healthy competence, more solid family relationships after the baby, and successful postpartum outcomes. I'll just let you know really quick what these are in case someone's ever interested in it, because I know my sister, even being around for our birth, was debating on if this is something she wanted to do, or just for moms who are expecting or planning to expect a baby, just knowing that this is a service that is available out there. So they deal with emotional support, physical comfort, self-care, infant care, informational support, advocacy, referrals, partner father support, support for the mother father with the infant, so teaching them how to deal with a newborn baby, supporting the mother father with additional siblings, and also household organizations. So you might have somebody in here helping you clean, do laundry, some light cooking. It's needed. It's needed. And I don't think there would be the profession of a doula if somebody didn't have the foresight to say this is something that women will need in this particular time in their life. So, all right. I think we should take a quick break. What do you think?
Yeah, let's take a quick break. Then we'll get back to listener letters.
Sounds good. Let's get into some ads.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs, classic clogs, and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
There's power in every purchase because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so.
And get this. Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, baby. We're back. We're listening to letters. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
I'll go first. Sure. Thank you. All right. So, love the show and transparency, but I'm going to jump right in because I need y'all's advice. All right. We diving in. My husband and I have been together for about 5 years and married for two of them. It was a hell of a rocky start, which is my reasoning for the two-year engagement. 2 months after the wedding, I found out I was pregnant. Fast forward now, I'm 27 and he's 34. We have a very busy 16-month-old and I'm 4 months pregnant. I'm constantly nauseous and exhausted while working full-time, pursuing my master's full-time, cooking, cleaning, wifing, and mommying. I feel like I'm at my max. However, my husband doesn't appreciate me in the slightest. He has a high role in corporate and is compensated well. I don't do bad salary rise, but I do definitely, wait, I don't do as bad salary wise, but I definitely do not, oh my God, I can't read today. I'm definitely not touching him, and he makes it a point to remind me. Sorry, y'all. Like I said, sleep. It might be my eyelash too.
Yeah, it's definitely an eyelash. You can't see. That shit over there struggling.
Cut, let me
Yo.
He pays most of the household bills and says things like, I wanted a partner, not a daughter, or my wife is a slacker. Yikes. Amongst other things along those lines. When I bring up how his words affect me, he says that he was joking and that I'm too sensitive. I'm so confused and at a loss of what I could be doing better. I've been hormonal for the most of our marriage, so I'm just being too sensitive? Question mark. I have suggested counseling, but he's not interested.
First and foremost, I don't know the dynamic of their relationship to tell whether or not she's being sensitive or not. If he's a joker and the same jokes he makes aren't falling the same way because she's pregnant, I've been there before.
Yo, the jokes be falling flat, son.
Yo, like, when y'all be
don't
pregnant,
nobody
want
to hear no jokes.
The same joke.
Not when you grow in a human.
I get it. I get it. The same joke you make when you're not pregnant, you think it's funny. When you pregnant, shit don't
funny.
Be funny.
Shit ain't
so
funny.
That it could be part of the fact that she's emotional and tired and still dealing with a young child. And part of it could be that he is insensitive or doesn't understand what it means to go through that aspect of child growing and, and child rearing.
Well, she said they've been together 5 years, married for two of them. And it was off to a rocky start and all that good stuff. And then she got pregnant right away. So remember back when we think of our first five years of marriage, we've spoken about our first 5 years of marriage and how that was just a very difficult time.
Absolutely.
Because very similarly, regardless of the fact that we'd been together for years before that, now we're married. So the minute you get married, you're expecting things to be different in whatever this marital realm is. Then we got pregnant right away on our honeymoon, had a whole baby within our first year of marriage, then dealt with postpartum and raising a child after that. So that first 5 years for us was just a hot mess.
Yeah.
So they may still be in that realm of things, especially with the 16-month-old and then being 4 months pregnant. Like that's like a back-to-back situation. So you're eventually going to have, by the time you have this baby, just about two under two. I understand. I understand what it feels like to feel like you're doing all the things and you're just not getting any kind of, well, I don't understand it because you do make me feel appreciated.
No, but
understanding how she may feel in this moment.
Because I do. I'll agree with her. Like even the eyelash jokes, right? Mm-hmm. I see your eyelashes struggling, right? If I'd have said that while you was pregnant, you probably start crying. You probably slam the laptop down, throw the mic at me. And I'd be like, what happened? Right. And I'd be like, what happened? And then you're like, it's not funny. You know, you don't know what it's like to be pregnant and have dark nipples and your underarms be swollen. And I was like, I said something about your lashes, though. Like, how we get to nipples.
But over here, you nitpicking about eyelashes, nigga. Like, come on.
But that's my point. Like, if they're still learning each other and they don't know. Because we still have conversations about which jokes affect us differently at which times.
Absolutely.
And we're talking about 20 years in.
20 years in.
5 years in.
A recent joke devoured me that he thought I would have thought was funny. I was like, nigga, that's not funny. Like, I thought you were being dead serious. So it happens.
And sometimes you have to continue to learn how to communicate in a marriage, even when you think you got it. And it may be something as simple as that, like he
and I'm wondering, does he pitch in now that they have the 18-month-old, she's pregnant? I know she said that he has a high role in a corporate job. Does he feel like I am Mr. Corporate? I work, so he doesn't do as much around the household to help pick up some of that slack. Y'all might need to outsource at this point,
probably
pretty much.
I mean,
because
she
says she's working, she's master's full time, working full time, then cooking, cleaning, and trying to be a wife and mom at the same time,
right?
All while being pregnant and having a 16-month-old, like that's a lot.
Right.
You know, so I don't know how much he does. She said he pays most of the household bills. So I'm wondering, is he a person that says, well, I work, I make the money, so therefore you keep the house under control?
It also depends on choices, right? So, for example, I remember when we were buying this house, one thing I said was, if we're going to buy a house this big, who's going to be responsible for cleaning it?
Mm-hmm.
And you was just like, don't worry, I'll handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? At that point, don't ask me, once we buy this big ass house, to come help clean something when you said you had it. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are conversations that people need to have.
Well,
if
yeah,
you're going to outsource
absolutely.
To get the house clean, fine. I don't got no problems with that.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? Don't be like, here's a pot and there's four bathrooms I left for you to clean. Now it's like, wait a minute. If I knew I would have had to clean bathrooms,
then I wouldn't have
bought this big ass house because that's not
what
I want to do.
And that was definitely a discussion we had because that's if you're going to get a house this size, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'll try to maintain, you know, on a day-to-day basis and then probably once a month have a deep clean, somebody come in and help me with that. And that's been working, and we have money in the budget for that. That's something that was already discussed. So,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, we don't understand the dynamic of their relationship as to why he may or may not be cleaning or why she may or may not be, you know, focusing. Like, for example, she said that she has a good career. She's going for her master's. She's going for this, right? What if in their relationship he was just like, hey, I got you. Mm-hmm. You don't got to worry about that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If we're going to do this marriage, let's get married, let's have kids. I'm 34. I want to have kids when I'm younger so I can play with my kids, blah, 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 blah. And she was just like, yeah, I still want to do that, but I also want to focus on my master's in this things, right? So he's like, all right, cool. They may want different things at different points in their lives and have to learn how to balance how to get both of them if there's not a synergy.
Right.
You understand what
I'm
saying? Because we also went through that in our relationship at one point where I thought that I wanted a stay-at-home wife and you thought that you wanted to be a stay-at-home wife until you got that and was just like, this shit is for the birds.
That's
and you wanted to work and you wanted to go out there. Then there was a point where I was kind of conflicted because I was like, man, we got kids. I don't want my wife to have to work. You know what I'm saying? I want someone to be there because as much as I talk about how great I love going to Aunt Weezy's house and how much I love going to Tennessee, there was also a part of me as a young man who felt, you know, like, dang, like, my other friend's parents picked them up from school.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't responsible for walking their little brother to school at 8, picking him up from school at 8, coming home and making lunch for his little brother. Like, I was 8. I wanted to be able to be 8. I didn't want to have to act like a little adult.
Right.
Part of me wanted my wife to be that for my children.
Yes.
And, you know, as you go through life, those ideas and what you want change. And unless you're willing to speak about that with your spouse, then you're never going to get on the same page.
Right, because that may be something you want. You're like, I envision my children coming home to their mom who has fresh baked cookies every day. And I might have been like, well, hell to the no. What I'm going to do is that. We're going to pick up some Chick-fil-A on the way home, and that's going to be dinner. Like, you know, there's so many different variables. But I think ultimately, sis, maybe trying to continue to have those conversations with him so you guys can have a little bit of a better understanding on like, who can do what in what moment.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's probably the best way to go about it. So good luck to y'all.
Number two. Hello, Kadena DeVal. I want to start by saying I love the podcast. Thank you. We love you too. I haven't missed an episode since you started. So to jump into it, my husband and I have been married for 2 years, together for 7. We have 3 whole boys.
Nice.
Boop, boop, boop. Catch up. And I'm currently 22 weeks pregnant.
Oh, she's catching
boop,
up.
Boop, boop.
Nice.
We have been going through verbatim version of what DeVal discussed in the Superman episode to the point that I thought we were living in the same house. To be specific, my husband has been on a spiritual journey for the last year and a half. God bless. I be on that spiritual journey too, brother, especially when Kay was pregnant. It has consumed him in some ways that I haven't seen before in our 7 years. In June of this year, he expressed that he wanted to take a 2-month break. I agreed. I will cover all expenses for 2 months. When August rolled around, he seemed unmotivated to get back out there. Oh, I can't relate with that. It has now been 5 months. I love my husband, but your girl's patience is wearing thin, and the timing of it all could not be more terrible with expecting our 4th and final. Dang. I thought that us finding out that we were expecting would get him going. I thought last Friday finding out our final baby would be a girl would be sure to do the trick.
Guys.
Congrats. Yes, congrats. But I haven't seen that old flame light up yet. How do I get my Superman back on track? Can it be depression? I'm tired of being Superwoman. Wow. This is actually a very, very good question. You want to know why?
Why?
We say this all the time, right? I say, you know what, babe? You as a woman get to say you want to take a break. And if you say you want to take a break for mental health reasons, what happens? People applaud you, right? That's fine. She recognizes her break and This man's saying he need a break, and I guarantee you a bunch of people going to be like, this nigga need to get his lazy ass off. This is why the suicide rate amongst men in America
Black
is 4-1 to women. You want to know why? Because men typically don't get breaks.
Yep.
Now, granted, we do not have to carry children. So we're not going to sit here and try to equate a woman needing a break because of postpartum or something to what a man goes through. But him saying he needs a break and needs to chill and spiritually is showing that he has some exhaustion mentally. And I hope, and it's just sad that I hope she finds a way to have grace for him while carrying a child, because you already know how I feel about that. When it comes to my wife carrying children, this is just me speaking, she don't need to worry about nothing else. I tell everybody else, get out my wife's way, leave her alone, let her do what she wants because she's carrying our child, right? It would be tough for me as a man to say to my wife, you have to keep going to work and be a mom to all of our other children while I take a break, while pregnant. Like, I don't understand that. But I'm not going to shame him because I don't know what he's going through what mentally. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to kind of give that explanation. But what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that she said they've been together for 7 years, married too. So he might just need a mental break first, for whatever the reason is. It may not even have anything to do with children or expecting another child or anything. But I was going to say something along the lines of stand by your man. Like, he just may need that in this moment. And it may require you having a little bit more conversation with him, seeing how you can be of help in some circumstance. And I know it's hard when you're pregnant. Hopefully, since you're 22 weeks, you're at that second trimester where you've gotten a little bit of your mojo back. You're not quite at the end yet. So that second trimester is kind of like that sweet spot where you kind of feel a little bit more normal. You're still able to maneuver, and physically you're not quite to the end, so you're still okay. But just trying to have the conversations and lovingly, you know, kind of encourage him to see what other help he may need. It might be a little bit of depression. It might be for random reasons, depending on age. I know certain ages, people feel like they have these little, like, there's the midlife crisis or there's the quarter life crisis or whatever may happen at certain points in their life.
Well,
he may be going through a transition of sorts.
They've been together 7 years and they have three kids, which means typically they probably got together and then started having kids immediately.
Yeah, might have been some back to backs too.
They and he was probably learning this woman through pregnancies. So you've learned a different version of this woman than, you know what I'm saying?
That's a fact.
Like, that could be exhausting for him to why he needed a break. And I'm putting that there first because of what I'm about to say next, right? Mm-hmm. With that being said, she's carrying your fourth child, right? If this is my homeboy, not just, you know what I'm saying, a reader, because I'm always going to try to support emotionally my homeboy, but I would say, nigga, get the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? Like, like at some point, I understand, but if we're being honest and she's asking me for help, and that was my homeboy, because
you're right.
We have group chats, and in my group chats, now is not the time. You can, and this is the sad part, right? We don't know what people are going through to tell someone that, you know what I'm saying, now is not the time. But if we're looking at it right now, now is not the time. She's working. They already have three boys. And she's pregnant. She's going to need help and grace as well.
Right.
And if y'all are a partnership, if you're there to be of service, yes, you can be of service to yourself, but you have to be of service to your wife at this point.
Right.
Like, I'm not trying to be insensitive to his mental health. I'm not at all.
Right.
And I'm definitely not, being
I've
a black man.
I've heard you have conversations like that, but too, you with know, some of your friends. Like, I specifically remember you having one conversation with a friend who had a baby recently, and you were just like, bro, now's not the time for all that.
No.
Now is not the time for all that. And if you wanted to take a break, I'm wondering if there's somebody, speaking of the topic of outsourcing, you need to be tagged out. Is there somebody you could tag in in your absence to be like, hey, you know, I need, like, bro, I need this time, or like, ma, I need this time, or calling on an auntie or a sister, somebody to come in and just kind of, you know, fill in while you figure things out.
And
that might also be an option.
Black people like to seek spiritual help. Sometimes you need professional help. Like, if you're not feeling like yourself and you as a man can't get up to help your wife, you need to seek help to figure out how you can get up. What is this woman supposed to do in the final trimester?
Right. And is the break just a break? Like, you're just not doing anything?
She said it's only been 5. She said it's been 5 months.
He said 2 months, and that was been 5.
2 months. And then
she covered all the expenses for 2 months too.
That's what I'm saying. So he asked for the break while she was pregnant. Right. We don't know if he's planning to take this break while she's pregnant, and then when the baby comes, step up. We don't know. Mm-hmm. She needs understanding mm-hmm. of what that is. Like, I'm not trying to be insensitive, and I wanted to at least come in front and say that I understand the suicide rate of men.
Yes.
I understand that sometimes it may not be fair. I don't want to seem like I'm coming down on men. We always speak about holding people accountable, but yeah. the fuck? like it's a mom with three kids and pregnant and working, uh-huh. and now you just decide that you wanna just woo-saw?
Right.
Get up for 5 months?
Right.
You ask this woman to marry you. There comes in a certain accountability with that. That's you know what I'm saying? And that's... Perfect. You know, it's going to sound sexist, but be a man, bro. Mm. Man up. Deal with it when it's appropriate. Mm-hmm. But you don't get to tap out on life.
Right, or completely clock
out. Or completely clock out, right, on life.
Yeah.
When you have children and a wife. Like, you just don't get to do that. But I'm trust me, I'm giving him grace. I'm not shaming him. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that was my boy.
I get it.
And not for nothing, if this is my boy, if this all my boys, and we've done this, we'll get together and be like, yo, let's throw so-and-so a couple grand each. Mm-hmm. Let's at least get the pressure off mm-hmm. his wife. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh, that's dope.
Because
we're
having we've
like
done
a village of men. Like, we always talk about Absolutely. The village of women that people have, but having a village of guys that could be like, yo, bro, I need to lean on.
Without outing.
The group chat.
Yes, with the group chat without outing one of our friends. But
right.
him and his wife were going through a mm-hmm. tough time. And he didn't mention anything. Superman complex. He's busting his ass working. Mm-hmm. Another one of our friends like, yo, let's all just throw him $2,000 apiece. Mm-hmm. At least let's just see if he over. Hold his mm-hmm. wife over. And boom, we, you know, four of us got together, threw him $8,000. That's like a lifesaver for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? When now that you at least room. Have some cushion
yeah.
so you don't got to stress.
Right.
And what helped them get through that moment. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Help mm-hmm. them get through that moment. I go through that with my friends all the time, man. Some of my friends who some of them don't even have families. Mm-hmm. They just going through a tough time. Mm-hmm. And you speak on it. Mm-hmm. Yo, let me throw you a couple grand just so that. Don't worry about paying these bills for 30 days. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Just... Right. Focus on getting your mental health together, but at least you know these bills are covered. Mm-hmm. You know, men need that in the groups too, because men don't like asking other men for money. And right. what people need to realize too is sometimes it's okay to give and then not be alone. Mm-hmm. I'm not giving you this money and then making it seem like, well, I want my money back.
Right.
Yo,
right.
you know what kind of gift that is? If you got a group of guys in a group chat, and y'all share ass and sports stats all day, right? That's all y'all do. But then randomly, when your guys know that you're going through something,
right.
you can just get a check or a direct deposit or a mm-hmm. Zelle, and you got $8,000 to $10,000, and it's just like mm-hmm. you know mm-hmm. nobody's looking for it back,
right?
That may be the break you need, but right. tapping out on your family for 5 months in my group chat, you're not getting that break. Mm-hmm. Niggas is calling you all sorts of names and letting you have it, because dude, you asked to get married,
right?
You asked her for kids.
Did that, you agree on this you did that
so hey bro, Let's help our brothers too. And brothers, if y'all listening, it's okay to have that in the group chats.
I love that.
You know?
Ask sports and help.
And Bible verses. It'd be Bible verses in our group chats. I was talking about other group chats.
Right.
We share uh-huh. and motivational tips. Uh-huh. Pause. Not tips.
All
motivational
that.
Speeches and videos.
Let me cut you off while you ahead. if you'd like to be featured as one of our listener letters, be sure to email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com.
That's deadassadvice@gmail.com.
Oh my goodness. So, moment of truth. If in your household you or your spouse are neither equipped to do what needs to be done in that moment, and you have the resources and the ability to outsource, freaking outsource. Get the help that you need to make you a more productive person, mm-hmm. a more productive person in general. And that's the mother and the father, to be mm-hmm. a better husband or a wife, to be a better person.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you have to do. Rely, if you can't rely on your village and you need to actually hire somebody to pay them to do that job, mm-hmm. do it. Because I promise you, just that little bit of sanity, getting the relief from sleep deprivation is just leaps and bounds.
Yes.
It can just help. Yes. Just get the help that you need, period.
I agree with you, baby. I agree with you 100%. And I agree with you so much that I'm going to take my moment of truth in a different direction. Let's normalize not shaming people for choosing to live differently than us in all aspects of our lives.
That would be amazing.
Like, let's just, in 2022 and beyond, be open to seeing someone else's lifestyle and just saying, that's interesting. As opposed to, nah, that shouldn't be done that way. While your life be fucked up. You understand what I'm saying?
Low key.
Like, that's just, realistically, low key. That's really what I be wanting to tell people, but I be trying to stay cordial on social media.
Right.
But I'm tired of watching people with fucked up lives telling other people how to live their life. Because all of us in some facet of our life is fucked up.
Right.
All of us.
Right.
You know what
and
I'm
we're
saying?
All still figuring it out.
And we're all figuring it out. So none of us are qualified to tell somebody the perfect way to live their life. So let's normalize allowing people to
normalize
share their experiences.
Practice that.
Yes, normalize it and practice. And practice on top of practice allowing people to exist in their space and just saying, that's interesting. Let's start to be consumers of content. Let people have their moment and stop shaming people for being different.
Facts. Put that energy into your own life.
Yes.
Period. All right. And be sure to find us on social media, y'all. At Deadass the Podcast. And you know where to find me, Kadeen I Am.
And I am Devout. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate,
review,
and subscribe.
Deadass.
Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
The hit movie Bob Marley One Love is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life of an icon who inspired generations with his message of love, peace, and unity. Rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
You know that I feel like it's important to express yourself. You got to put your true self out there. And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do that.
That's right. Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know it doesn't get any more comfortable than the Croc clogs and sandals. They are just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.